Were you sharing a bed or just a room?
Oh, no, not a bed. That would have been a
but
little
But a room as an adult.
Yes, and I also think when you're at a work retreat, like, you need to be able to retreat.
From the retreat. From the you retreat. Really need a retreat from the retreat.
Welcome back to Meet Me by the Dumpster, a podcast about the messy middle of all things work by two colleagues turned friends. I'm Astrid.
I'm Mary.
Today, we are excited to be back in the studio, and a fun fact, we are in the same studio that Eva Longoria was in recently, so.
That's right. So, you know, just channeling some Eva energy right now.
Yeah. I sat in the spot she sat in earlier, so I'm feeling good. But aside from that fun fact, we today are going to be discussing two topics that have been on our minds and both potentially a little messy, so it fits within the theme of our podcast. So first, we're going to chat about bringing your whole self to work, our thoughts around it, what it means to each of us. And then we also want to dive into something that we both have experience with, which is having a manager who is the same age as us or younger, and our thoughts around that. So to kick things off, Mary, we know you love to define a term.
I don't know if I want to be known for this. I'm like, maybe I need to break free from this. I'm being, I don't know.
I'm pigeonholing you?
Yes, that's so you're pigeonholing me.
Okay, Mary, suppose you're the type of person who likes to define a term. How would you define it if you were that person?
Okay, so this one was kind of tough because as much as I do love a definition, I think that that concept of like bringing your whole self to work is pretty gray, and obviously it does mean different things to different people. And I also think for myself, it's something that's just like shifted a lot throughout my career. Mm-hmm. So maybe what it looked like when I was much younger or earlier in my career, it might look like something different now. But to me, kind of at this point, it sort of feels just like being an authentic version of yourself, and that might look like not being afraid to be vulnerable about like maybe a personal challenge you're going through or if you're having an off day. And it's tough because I think that there's just like a lot of expectations at work, be professional and kind of like keep your feelings at the door, keep your emotions in check, like don't let your emotions influence you. And so like those things can be very much at odds. What do you think?
Well, it makes sense. And I was nodding along as you were saying that because especially when you were talking about emotions and knowing you and having worked with you, I think that's a huge part of who you are.
For sure. And
so the thought of you trying to work at a place where you can't express that or where you're expected to leave your emotions at the door, I just can't really ever see you doing that. So yeah, hearing that, it just makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I actually had a similar experience when I was trying to define it. I thought, oh, this is, you know, straightforward to define. But then as I thought about it, I was like, I don't know, it means so many different things. And I think because it has been sort of in the zeitgeist, there's been a lot of chatter around it. It feels like, oh, we're all on the same page when we talk about this, but actually it can mean different things to so many people. And so when I thought about it, for me, it means being able to show up as I am and also having an understanding and a respect that I am an entire person outside of work. And so to me, that means things like an understanding that, you know, I have family and that I'm going to want to see them or, you know, need to go spend time with my grandmother and to have that be understood. So that was one of the big things that came to mind for me. Yeah, is just that understanding that I am an entire person who does not just exist as a cog in this machine, you know, that I am someone else outside of this sort of 9-to-5 box.
Yeah, I think I resonate with that a lot too. And it can feel very obvious when that's not supported at a workplace, but I think it's a little harder to kind of like parse out and be like, okay, is this a workplace where I can show up as my full self? I also like was just talking to my husband about this earlier. Rico, you know him. I was thinking about this, and because it is interesting how we all define it differently. And something that he said I really liked, and he was like, bringing your whole self to work is like sharing the parts of you that make you like a weirdo. Mm. And I was like, oh, that's cute. I like that. You know, mm-hmm. like you're like, yeah, like what are the things that make you you and like the things that are just like, because I think you can't actually separate those things, you know, like you can't actually show up without those things there. It's whether you're just like pretending to or not. But there is like, I think a lot of pressure to have this like professional veneer. And I don't know. I think I've struggled with that, as you already mentioned, like just feeling like I am expressive with my emotions. And that certainly at times has been unprofessional. But I think that there are a lot of times that that's served me. You know, and just thinking about vulnerability, like and I don't know what you think, but I've just like felt more connected and motivated in workplaces where there was like vulnerability present either between myself and my manager or like when I was working on a team and people were being vulnerable because like the relationships that you build at work, you know, we've talked about this before, but like they're the big determiners of like your happiness. And if there isn't any kind of emotional vulnerability, then like how do you even feel connected to like the people that you're working with?
Yeah, no, I agree, especially on the vulnerability. I think one thing that's important to me though is that that is earned. I think there can be a false sense of vulnerability, or I think Brené Brown talks about this, that being a vulnerable leader isn't coming on to a team meeting and being like, oh, you know, I'm going through this crazy divorce, and like oversharing and thinking, oh, great, okay, I've checked, you know, checked off the vulnerability box. I'm making it safe to share these things. Mm-hmm. And I think that that develops over time in relationships and isn't, you know, about a company just saying, oh, bring your whole self to work, but is about those relationships you have with work and how people are modeling that behavior. And again, to me, it's something that happens over time. It's not just an immediate, you know, your first day or week on a job where that would necessarily happen. So I think that's really important. But I think that is, yeah, just more difficult to cultivate too. Why do you think that this has become such a big topic? It's all over the place now, bringing your whole self to work. Why do you think that is?
Yeah. You know, I think it's interesting. Like, I just think our expectations for what work should be have just expanded significantly. Like, work is supposed to be like a community. It's supposed to give us purpose. It's supposed to be a creative outlet. It should be challenging. It should be like pushing us to grow. And so it sort of makes sense. And it feels kind of only natural that like, now we're like, oh, and also we need to bring our whole self to work. Like, I think our generation's just the way that we viewed work is very different than previous generations. And, you know, I think that this, yeah, this list is sort of endless of all these expectations or what we're supposed to get out of work. But it just like can't be all of those things, I think. Mm-hmm. Kind of like even like, you know, personal relationships now, like I think Esther Perel talks about this a lot too, of like the expectations we have in our intimate relationships. They need to be like everything to us. And I sort of feel like that's happened in work too, is like work has to check every box.
Yeah. No, I was also thinking of Esther Perel as you were talking. And I recently was listening to something that was saying how fewer and fewer Americans identify as religious. And the church used to be this big proponent of community. It's where you go out when to get community, when people also lived closer to their extended family. That was a big source of community. And so I think there's this trend of, and this has been happening for a while, right? This isn't too new, but people are moving further and further from their family. They're less religious. And so often, especially if you are moving to a city for a job, you might not have as big of a social circle. And then to your point, you're looking for all of that in work. And is it really, and also, do you really want that? Because if you do have all of that at work and then something happens, then you're left without your job and without your community, as opposed to having it a little bit more evenly spread. So I think we have to be a bit careful about what we ask for and also what's asked then in return.
Right.
If the company does feel like, oh, well, you know, we're giving you so much, and you know, if your life is so intimately tied to that place. I was even thinking when we chatted in our first episode about the pros and cons of having a work confidant. And I remember this happening with you and I when we had a little disagreement. And it felt like a bigger deal because I was not only disagreeing with my colleague, but then I also was disagreeing with my friend, which compounded it. And it felt worse. So when those things do become more intertwined, it can be more painful when something does happen. So maybe as I'm saying that, that also sounds very protective and a little scarcity mindset, right? Like, oh, I don't want to have too much community at work because what if something happens? So I don't know. Maybe that's not the best.
I think it's valid though. I mean, it's sort of the concept, like putting all your eggs in one basket or just, I mean, I think if you expect one thing in your life to fulfill so many of your needs in any area, work, personal, things change. Like people lose jobs, they come, they go, relationships end. So I think it's, you know, to be a full person, I think that you shouldn't rely on just one thing.
Yeah, you got to diversify.
Are you bringing your whole self to work right now?
So, I feel put on the spot all of a sudden.
Well, now you know what it feels like.
I'm squirming.
Your boss is going to listen to this episode.
I don't think I'm bringing myself to work right now in a way that I have at past positions. And I think a big part of that is because I am remote most of the time, so I don't need to. I was thinking in preparation for this about times I've most felt like I've brought my whole self to work. And it actually has been when I've worked with you. And I think there is something about having someone who you feel that you can be your whole self with. And so since I don't work with you right now, I can't bring my whole self to work.
Oh, so it's my – okay, yeah. Got it. It's my fault. Okay.
It's a Mary absence problem. But no, and I also think being in person, I remember – you might remember this too – one time when I felt like I really brought my whole self to work, mess and all – I'd gone through a breakup on a Friday, and I think I took one day off, but then I came back to the office, and we were going around talking about our weekends, and I just burst into tears, and I couldn't – there was nowhere to hide, right, where if I'd been remote, maybe I would have had my camera off. Maybe you could have heard my voice breaking. But I think when you're in person every single day, there's just more of those opportunities for those things to come up. You can get more body language cues from people. You just end up sharing more. So I think that's definitely impacted how I bring my whole self to work. So yeah, I need Mary to be there. I need to be in person. That's what I need to bring my whole self to work.
Well, that's, you know, I don't remember that time. But
that was bad. I'm like, you must remember this monumental moment.
We can cut this out of the podcast.
And I was like, oh, no, it doesn't ring a bell.
Well, maybe because, you know, there were so many times I was crying that no, I'm just kidding.
So you should remember it was me. I was taking the pressure off you.
Well, I hear you on the remote thing, but I do think that there was that unique time and, you know, not to sound like a broken record because this has been discussed by so many people, but there was a time at the beginning of the pandemic when I think we were all remote and we couldn't not bring our full self to work because you just couldn't ignore kind of like the struggles that everyone was going through in a lot of ways. I think like parents were struggling and just generally the like uncertainty and the – we had Bethany on the podcast last week, but – I think those things had to be acknowledged where maybe like they wouldn't have been acknowledged at a company level or like if you're going through a personal struggle, like it's not going to be necessarily talked about, but like, you know, we all had kind of a collective experience. And so even though we were remote, I think maybe in that situation, you couldn't really like hide.
Trauma bonding.
Something like that.
That's true. I do wonder too if we also both had been at the company and then went remote. So I don't know
if yeah.
I would have felt differently.
Maybe starting remote.
Yeah.
I do think it kind of puts up a barrier. Yeah, starting mm-hmm. remote, not many people in person.
Yeah. And I'm a huge proponent of it because I love the flexibility. But I don't know. There is just something about seeing someone and – but I have a few colleagues who, and I think they actually do a really good job of showing personality through, even though it is remote, like they make a point at the beginning of calls to share something that they've done. Even just their surroundings are more colorful. So I think there are ways to bring yourself to work and be remote. I think I'm just not leaning into them. That's a personal problem.
Got it.
What about you, Mary? Have you when have you felt most like you've brought your full self to work? No pressure, because I just said, you know, for me it's working with you. So take that as you will.
I mean, maybe sometimes that I'm not so proud of, like earlier in my career when disagreed with decisions that my manager was making, and I was like, and, you know, I can't think of a specific time because there are so many times. But I think that I was very straightforward, like forthright about how I felt. And I don't know, maybe in those situations I shouldn't have been so expressive.
Yeah, I hear you. But I also feel as though you should care. And you cared, and you, I think, wouldn't someone rather someone who cares? And yeah, maybe sometimes they're a little exaggerated in how they express it, or maybe they go a little too far. But I think that's so much better than someone who just is sitting there yesing and doesn't really care and is checked out.
Yeah, totally. You know, and I think that a lot of those experiences have kind of shaped me a lot in sort of where I am now in a more mature career place. But
mature working woman.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I have seen, like, I've had managers who over time developed like a relationship with me, and like I could tell they cared about me. They asked me what was going on in my life. They shared personal details. And then I've had on the other side of just like the door is kind of closed, or there's sort of like a wall up. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, I didn't feel like I could bring my whole self to work. And so that's maybe why I look back now and I say like, okay, in those situations where maybe like I was overly emotional, or like I really disagreed with a situation and like, or a decision that the company's made, then it was so obvious because they had such that of that professional veneer on and they weren't showing up, at least what I felt authentically. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't encouraged. Whereas on the other side, like if I've had managers that have just like been super open, and I've always kind of wanted to like emulate that and say like create a space for people to feel, you know, because sometimes, yeah, we are people. And sometimes even though it's work and like it's kind of like made up a little bit, like it does get kind of fucking annoying. And sometimes things are frustrating. And I think even just acknowledging that, like, and that's kind of what I've tried to sort of carry with me is just like if I'm managing a team or if I'm working, just like if things suck, just acknowledge that it sucks.
What you're saying also makes me think of psychological safety. And someone was chatting with me about that in reference to the workplace, and I hadn't thought about that. But I feel like it actually is pretty closely aligned with bringing your whole self to work, is having that psychological safety to express yourself the way that you are most comfortable, or to, yeah, to your point, acknowledge those things that are more difficult.
Has there been times where, you know, you have been expected to kind of like bring more of yourself to work, you know, than you wanted to? Like I'm remembering something a little crazy happened.
You don't remember me crying at work, but you do remember this. Yes. And it goes back to my point about forced vulnerability. I was thinking of this instance. So I'd started a new job, very, very small company. And my very first day, the company was going on a retreat. And so my manager tells me, and to be fair, she also said, you know, if you can't make it, no worries. But I wanted to.
But you're new, so of course you're going to go on the work retreat. I mean, that you don't want to get off on a bad foot.
Exactly. So, and I was told there's a pool. I'm told there's tennis courts. So I'm excited.
Okay, I've got my tennis racket. So you're like, this is my personal vacation.
Yeah, I was like, perfect. So I get there, got my tennis racket, you know, got a swimsuit. I'm ready. And we leave for the work retreat in a minivan. So I'm in the back, you know, smushed between like two of my new colleagues.
I forgot about this part.
And I'm like, okay, this is fine. And we get to the retreat and I find out that I'm sharing a room with someone, which, you know, part of me
should
wants
be
to
illegal
be like,
in a work setting. You can't share. Were you sharing a bed or just a room?
Oh, no, no, not a bed. That would have been a
but
little
a
much.
Room as an adult.
Yes. And I also think when you're at a work retreat, like you need to be able to retreat.
From the retreat. From the retreat. You really need a retreat from the retreat.
And so as I'm slowly, these things are happening, I'm just like, oh my goodness, it's been my first day. All I want to do is just sit in a dark room and decompress. And, but you know, I have my tennis racket, I have my swimsuit. So things are still looking good. I'm like, this is going to be great. You know, I'll be able to swim. That's a solo activity. But no, no, no. It's just team building activity after team building activity. And after dinner, we go around and the prompt is, what keeps you awake at night?
Oh my God.
And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God. You're like, how do I respond? Do I make a joke? Do I keep it serious?
Exactly. And that's exactly the calculus. I'm, you know, you don't want to be too flip. And you want an answer that reflects, you know, I'm a serious person. I'm motivated. You made the right choice in hiring me. But really, you know, the things that keep me up at night are like, am I going to keep this job? You know, why did that person say that thing to me? That person on the subway who didn't move, you know, all these very petty things. And so I'm racking my brain for what I'm going to say as everyone's going around. And I have no idea what I ended up saying, but it just really felt like I was, that they wanted everyone to really share, to really be vulnerable. And again, I think that's fine if you've earned that. But for me, coming in on my first day.
And night one of the retreat. Exactly. Wow. Like maybe start like very light. Like what's your favorite food? Like let's keep it light. Maybe mm-hmm. you say that for like day three.
Yeah. So I definitely felt as though, yeah, I was just being asked to bring a lot more of myself than I intended. You know, like I said, I brought my swimsuit, not my whole baggage of personal things to share and dole out.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be the biggest red flag, right, for that job. That was a short-lived job, right?
Yeah. And it ended up being indicative of the experience. So, yeah, I feel like those things happen early on. You know very quickly what kind of workplace it's going to be. And
I agree, but I also think that like you really want it to work. So you're like, okay, maybe that was weird, but like, I'm sure it'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But like, and maybe there's, for me, there's some part of me that's like, well, I want to be a part of the culture. So I want to get on board. And so maybe you kind of push some of these flags to the side, but it's like, as soon as you, like, when you're ready to leave, like, you're like, oh crap. Like, wow, there were so many red flags to that job. Actually, it made me think of, I also had a short stint at a company that is also no longer exists. So that might tell you some things. But when I went back and thought about it and I was like, oh, why didn't I, you know, I didn't stay there for very long because it wasn't the right fit for me. Just really wasn't. There were a lot of challenges there. But like when they recruited me, I remember that in the email that they sent me, they said, you had us at first blush. And I was like, at the time I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. And then like they continued to like layer on like all these almost love bombing me throughout mm-hmm. the interview process to the point where at the end, my final interview, the interview was actually an offer and they had a slide deck and they had my photo in the slide deck. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so flattered. Like, aww. And like, I think, you know, like I was like so like caught up in it. Mm-hmm. And, but now I look back and I'm like, oh my God, that was way too far. That was way too intense.
Like, yeah, they were really laying on thick.
Yeah, laying it on thick and like being like, oh, you're going to be part of this like team and family. And like, you're what, who we've been looking for. And I'm like, okay, now I see why. Because this is a complete hot mess, but.
Okay, Mary, rapid fire. What are pros and cons of bringing your whole self to work?
Okay, pros, making close work confidants. Astrid, your turn. Pros and cons for bringing your whole self to work.
So, pros. Important to feel accepted, should just be a baseline and allows for greater creativity, better work.
Okay, a con, I would say, can be kind of used as a corporate tool or a buzzword, which we know how I feel about those. What about you? A con?
A con, it can further tie us to work and make work be that central place as opposed to one part of your life, but that locus of your life, which I'm not for. Okay, we have our second messy topic, which is something that we both have had experience with, which is having a manager our age or younger. So Mary, tell us about an experience you've had with this.
Yeah, definitely. So I have had a couple managers that are the same age as me or younger. I think maybe one of them I wasn't supposed to know their age, but, you know, nothing a little LinkedIn creeping won't solve. So in these two distinct instances, I actually had very different experiences. On one hand, I had a manager that was around the same age as me, and I felt like that we were, because of that, we were both in like a career building phase. And so we just like really wanted to prove ourselves. And, you know, I wanted to succeed. And it was very obvious that this manager who was, you know, I think they were younger than me, but maybe the same age, they also wanted to succeed and they wanted to be promoted. And I think that that's totally fine. I think that, you know, I'm sure everyone, regardless of their age, probably has, you know, they want to grow. And I think that you want to work with someone that wants to grow. But at the same time, I think because of that, they were far less concerned about my growth. Mm. So they just, instead of helping develop me professionally, they were really focused on themselves and really wanting to stand out at the company rather than helping me succeed. And I think the challenge with that is like, I mean, I don't know, this is my perspective, but like managers are supposed to like be there to help you succeed. Like I think a manager's primary responsibility is to like coach and grow their team. So like when their team succeeds, they succeed. Mm. So, you know, in this example, like when they were the same age as me or kind of at the same career stage, I think that like my development got lost on them and they like didn't care what was going on with me because they were just like really focused on their own like individual contributions to the company.
Mm. And when you're also that close to, you're probably similar in skill level. And so it's not as though you're working for a VP trying to become a senior VP where that's a very different path. But if it's just someone who's working to get, you know, two, like one level above, which is only two levels above you, I think that can also get really sticky.
Yeah, totally. And there's less to learn from them, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like they're not only their attention is kind of focused on themselves, or at least in my experience was, but then also like they may not have, like you said, much more experience than you and have a lot to offer. And I've had great managers though that, you know, maybe have less experience than me, but because of their personality or their coaching style, I still felt like I grew from them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it can get kind of tough if you're like in the same exact place as them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What about you? Have you, you know, I know that you also have had someone that's like the same age or younger. And what was that like?
Yeah. So when I first found out, it was a sticking point for me. It made me feel as though, you know, in the world, things are somewhat hierarchical, right? Our parents are older than us. Our teachers are older than us. It feels like that's the natural order, that your boss should be older than you. And so if that's not the case, it's like, what's wrong? What's wrong with me? Where am I falling short? And so I think it made me feel insecure in that way. But then this person ended up being an amazing manager, and I was really able to learn from them. And I came to feel as though they deserved to be in that position and that they had a lot to offer me. So it ended up being a good experience in that way. But yeah, at first it was definitely something that I was very wary of. But yeah, it ended up being a positive. And I think now when I think about if I would have a manager my age or younger, because of that experience, I would definitely be open to it. It would still be something I'd take note of, and I would want to make sure that I felt, to your point, that I could learn from the person, that they had things to offer me, but it wouldn't be a non-starter for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think for me, I think the age aspect can influence someone as a manager. Like I said in my example, like, you know, having my, in my experience, like they were more focused on themselves. But I think it's like, if you know you're going into a situation like that, then it's like understanding their, that individual person's management style too. And like, what is their leadership style? Cause like after I had that experience where I felt like this person doesn't care about my growth and development, they're just kind of like focused on like climbing the ladder themselves and are just going to like leave me behind on that. I feel like my next job, that was really important to me. And so I, you know, people always say like, when you're going through interviews, oh, well, you need to interview the company too, you know? And I think that that's especially important for like management and leadership. Like, who are you going to be reporting to? And like asking them, tell me about your leadership style. Tell me about your management style. How are you, you know, how do you approach growth and development? Mm-hmm. Like that helped me a lot because I was like, oh, I want the complete opposite. Like I want someone who is going to be like there to support me and like,
yeah, I think it can also depend too on, you know, I think if you're 22 or 23 and reporting to someone who is 23, it's like, okay, that's difficult to argue how that 23-year-old knows more. But, you know, I think of both of you and I'd been in China, you'd been teaching, and so we were in a bit of a transition phase. And so there were people who were the same age as us who did have skills we didn't have. And so in that instance, it does make sense just in that, you know, if I were to go into teaching now, I would have, you know, someone older than myself. So I think it's also good to step back. And you and I was talking about that yardstick that it felt as though I was falling short. It's like, okay, yes, in this skill area, I am not as developed as someone who's been, you know, doing this for X amount of time. But in another area of life, you know, with teaching experience or with experience working abroad, I have so much more experience. And so keeping that more holistic picture of it's not, you know, this is not an indicator of your overall value just because in this one area, someone who's your age maybe has more of a skill set than you do. Does that make sense?
100%, because I've also been on the other side of this when I was in teaching, that I was managing someone who was much older than me, probably 20 years older than me, but they were doing a career transition and they were new to teaching. And so, you know, me with my like 3 years of teaching experience, which first off, I probably should not have been a manager after like teaching 3 years. And anyone who's a teacher would know that that's, that happens a lot, unfortunately. But yeah, now I'm thinking about that person that I was managing, and I was definitely mindful of that, but it was sort of like they were entering a totally new field. And so while they had 20 years on me in terms of age, like they were, you know, our skill sets were very different.
And also just knowing you too, I imagine you were very respectful of that they do have experience in these other areas. Did you feel like you learned from them in some ways
too? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that that's also like a good reminder too of like, even if, you know, you're coming in what you think is like, you know, Asher, when you're like, oh, well, I'm far behind. But it's like, even if you're doing a career transition or you're trying something new, like you're still bringing something valuable from where you were before too.
I think especially when you're young, it's easy to get caught up in this specific job or this specific time. But then as you get older, as you have more jobs, you see how much things can shift. And for example, let's say, you know, maybe I'm managing you and then maybe I do a career change or I take a different job and 4 years from now, you actually are in a much higher position or, you know, I've gone somewhere totally different. And so this thing that can feel like a huge deal, like, oh, this person's managing me now, you know, this is so embarrassing. Okay, it's just not that big of a deal. And 6 months, 3 years, 10 years from now, both of you could be in such different places. And it's more about the holistic picture of where do you want to go? What's important to you at what time?
I think it's kind of the point of this whole podcast. Like we sort of wanted to redefine, I think in a lot of ways, like the meanings that we attach to work and like defining success in any area of your life or defining success in your career is really like an individual thing and really something that like it's deeply personal. And so it's important to kind of just like remember that. And yeah, if you're younger in your career, like it feels like such a big deal in the moment. Mm-hmm. And it can be hard because I have been there.
Did I hear you say defining, Mary? Don't pigeonhole me.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize I was used to defining again, but.
We should create a drinking game that goes along with the podcast.
Good idea. Ooh. Yeah.
What would be the define? I'm curious.
Excited. Yeah, I know a lot of our listeners are listening to this while they're also drinking, you know? This is a happy hour listen.
Any podcast can be a happy hour podcast if you put your mind to it.
I actually thought about bringing alcohol today, but I didn't have any to bring. Mm. I was going to bring wine. I was like, we need a drink. But I didn't, so.
That should be on our In and Out Summer 2023 list.
Speaking of, yes. If you haven't checked it out, check out our In and Out Summer 2023 list at Dumpster Pod on Instagram.
There's some hot takes.
Yeah. You know, give us your feedback. What's in, what's out for you?
I was into the fennel. That's what it came to me. And I was like, you know, I just love fennel, nice crunchy vegetable. I'm into fennel salads these days.
My favorite one on the in list, breakfast dates, incredibly underrated, you know, especially if you're maybe taking a break from drinking or you have a busy schedule, breakfast dates. I love that. Mm-hmm. It's all about the quality of the company and the conversation, because there's nothing else to do really when you're at breakfast.
It's also a real power move to say like, oh, I have a breakfast date or, you know, I have a networking breakfast.
That's right. Yep. Okay.
Okay. Hope you enjoyed these.
Hope you enjoyed these hot takes.
I like that. Spicy takes.
Yes.
I'm Astrid.
I'm Mary.
And this was Meet Me by the Dumpster.